19th chapter of the book of Revelation. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations. And he should rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come, and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. And all the fowls were filled with their flesh.
Praise God. You can be seated. Now, I want to remind you of something now as we talk with you. I did this last week, and I've tried to do it from time to time. Don't forget that Paul said, lest I speak to you either by doctrine or by revelation, then I can't profit you anything. But now if I come to you and I speak to you by revelation, then it will profit you something. If I speak to you by doctrine, it will profit you something. If I don't use a doctrine, then I've not done you any good, unless I use a revelation. But if I don't use either the revelation or the doctrine, I've not done you any good at all. I've heard so many men say, I don't preach doctrine. Well, they've not done any good, because it's for sure if they don't preach doctrine, they can't preach revelation.
Now, Paul said, continue in the doctrine. Peter said, continue in the doctrine. The Bible said, who can I teach doctrine? So then, there is a doctrine of communism. There is a doctrine of this and a doctrine of that. There's Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian. There's everything in the earth today. But unless I speak to you by doctrine, then I don't establish you on anything. If I come to you with the doctrine of the Methodist Church, at least I've made a Methodist out of you. I've done that much good. If I come to you with the doctrine of the Baptist Church, I've made a Baptist out of you. Now, but if I come to you with the doctrine of God, then I've made a Christian out of you, for I've come with the doctrine of Christ. So then I ask you to try to get into the Spirit. I've already felt the anointing this morning. I felt it when Leon stood up to speak over there. I felt the congregation become anointed, and I felt the anointing. That's why that I was able to see that a while ago so very clearly. When the arrogancy of the man's spirit shouted out like it did a while ago, contrary to me. And really, he's a fine person. He didn't mean that. But the only thing is, his spirit shouted out against me a while ago. But I love the Lord anyway, and I thank God for letting me see those things. Not that I hold it against you, but I just warn you that that's not the right thing to do. But the anointing is so sweet, if we can get in what we call one mind, one accord, get sweet, tender. The Holy Ghost is a dove, a holy dove. And then when we get like a lamb, that holy dove comes down on that gentle nature. The Bible said even the minister should be gentle and not strive. Be peaceful. And on the day of Pentecost, when one mind, one accord. Now we have the right to make war. I could come to you making war as long as I do it in righteousness. I can wage war with you. I can declare war on you. And the Bible said, cursed is the man that holdeth back his sword from blood. I can take my sword and dip it in your blood. But as long as I make war in righteousness, I'm all right as the body of the Lord Jesus. For it comes to make war in righteousness. But now, I want you to, not just to hear what I say, but hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. The woman is a carrier for the child. The man is the woman in the earth to God, and he's the carrier of the babe, till Christ be formed within you, Paul said, I travail. So then, if we are a carrier of the mind of the Lord, the Word of God, then I speak with a natural vocal utterance, and then when I speak with a natural vocal utterance, inside of the shell of that natural vocal utterance, there is a spiritual power, a spiritual word, a spiritual knowledge that's called a revelation, because it is something that has to be revealed. Once it's revealed, it's not a revelation. Now, the revelational part is the revealing of it. And that before it is revealed, it is called a secret, the mysteries of God. Then as it is revealed, it's called a revelation. And once it is revealed, it becomes a God treasure. Paul said the treasure that's in heavenly places, the knowledge of God. It becomes the knowledge of God to you, your treasure from now on. That which is revealed belongeth unto the sons of men. So then when I start to talk, if you believe and love the Lord, in just a few minutes he'll start talking. It won't take him but just a few minutes. But if I talk and you don't believe, then he won't start talking. Our hearts won't burn within us. But if he starts talking, and the Bible said it shall not be you that speak, but the heavenly Father that speaketh from within you. I know that some of you are natural. Paul said carnal, yet babes in Christ. I can't speak unto you as spirituals. You just have to get the inspiration of the Spirit and what you feel, the milk of the Word. But to them that are strong, the meat belongs to the strong. Some of you don't really believe it's God speaking to you. You still believe it's a man no matter what. But nevertheless, the Bible said God is in his holy temple. Let all the world keep silent. The Bible said you're the temples of the Holy Ghost. When you come in the house of God, be more ready to hear than give the sacrifice of foods. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word, and the translation is by faith, because Enoch was raptured by faith. So then, here is what we're trying to do. It's as a natural man that tries to be an example before you to catch your natural interest, your natural attention, that a God on the inside that Paul referred to as the inner man might express himself to your inner man, and that your inner man might come together with that Christ that is inside. And when that membership comes to this membership, or that is to say, when your spiritual Christ on the inside, according to your measure and growth, whatever age he is, embraces the spiritual Christ on the inside of my heart in a holy kiss, which is a charitable kiss, to greet each other with a charitable kiss by swearing to our own hurt in the outer man and abasing him, then my spirit, not my spirit, but the Christ spirit, might through love embrace your spirit, and God through each member embraces the spirits of each person, all in a God love, in what we call the gospel love, and it all comes together in one great unit. Then when it does, it's God in every temple when we become spiritual. And He's moving, and there's no distortion, there's no schisms in the body, and every member comes to its place. Now you that are carnal, you won't come to it. You'll just sit here and the rain will come on the unjust. You'll feel it and you'll like it and you'll enjoy it because the tear enjoys the rain. But when the rain's over, your nature is the same. It's according to the briar of the wheat. But you that are real wheat, when the natures come together and everything flows together, one mind, the mind of Christ, one accord to do His will. That was Pentecost. Then the Holy Ghost came as a rushing wind, mighty rushing wind. Then when it comes like that, when Cornelius spoke to him down there, the Bible said the Holy Ghost fell on him. Now, when Leon was speaking to us a while ago, I felt the Holy Ghost fall on us, just like it did down at Cornelius's. When it fell on us as he spoke the word, the Holy Ghost fell on us, I felt the yoke break, because the anointing breaks the yoke. Now, when the yoke's broken, that means that the atmosphere is anointed and everything is right. Then everything, when everything is right, that means that God is on the scene. And if God's on the scene, then that means the church, remember now the church is the woman, the carrier part. The church can hear what the inner spirit from within the preacher or within the vessel is saying. The spirit, the inner person, can understand. Now it is the church that wants to hear what the spirit says. That means the outer person. The outer person is the church, because the church is what wants to hear it, because it is the body that must be translated. We're waiting for the redemption of the church, the redemption of the body, that the inner can break out into the church. So then you've got to hear it here. Bible said, take heed how that you hear. So then when we start speaking, if we can get your interest. Now a lot of people that, you know, they don't know nothing about God. All they know is a holler, hoop, and a shout, and a run, and a jump. And that's wonderful, because we're supposed to holler, hoop, run, jump, shout, praise God. But now, there's a time for all things, and there's a time to hear what the Spirit says to the church. When that preacher is speaking, it's time for you to hear, because faith cometh by hearing and translation by faith. So then when we start speaking to you, then if you get interested, and I can capture your natural attention, then the Spirit can speak to your inner man. Now, while this happens, the thing that I'd like to get you to see, while this happens, many of them sit in the audience and they can't get into that. They are under arrest by the laws of God. And they can't do anything but listen, because their interest is caught. And because things are very interested to them, and they enjoy the things of God as much as anybody else, as far as the blessings of the outer man, because it's restful. But on the nature, on the inside, it still wants to have the eternal life of God, and still wants to go out in the world and do the things that the world does. But if the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father, it's not there. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is of the world is the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. The world and the lust thereof passeth away, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. God so loved the world. I want to say this again. People so often say, but Brother Pike, the Bible said God so loved the world. It does say that God so loved the world. Isn't that right? It doesn't say he so loves the world. But he so loved the world. And that means that while it was in the condition that it was when he created it in the garden, when Adam was in the garden, his Shekinah glory was spread over. It was such a beautiful thing. God so loved it that when it fell into the state of chaos where he tells us not to love it in this condition until he can redeem it and bring it back to the garden state, which is the millennium, while we withdraw from it, God so loved the world that he gave his only son that he might redeem the world to bring it back to the condition that it was in when he made it for mankind to be inhabited in the garden. That is the millennium stage. Now, we say, well, God came not to condemn the world. I know that. But that through the world, that through God the world might be saved. I know that. God wants to save the world. But God, though he came not to condemn the world, a lot of times I speak out against sin, I say things against the things that you do, or speak contrary to your thoughts or your ways, and you think, bless God, God didn't come to do that. That's your attitude. But see, it's true that God didn't come to do that, but the Bible said that Jesus Christ came into the world to condemn sin. I'm condemning sin. I'm not condemning the world, I'm condemning sin. And if you are partakers of the sin, you're automatically condemned. Automatically. So I'm here to condemn sin, not to condemn you nor condemn the world, but to save you. For the Bible said God would bring saviors up on the mount, and we are saviors. We've come to save you. Saviors in the plural. If you convert a man, the Bible said, know that you've saved a soul from hell. We become your saviors. That's why a lot of times a man will praise a pastor or a minister. He's become his savior. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, there's only one savior. That's Jesus. He said saviors in the plural. Still one Jesus, many members of his body. Still the same Jesus doing the saving. Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. So then you become a savior. Now, I want to try to teach just a little bit, if I can, this morning. And if, while people run across the country and resent you, resent me and say things, oh, they're praising Brother Pike, they're praising Brother Leon, they're praising Brother Taylor, they're praising Brother Zell, they're doing this, while they're running around like a bunch of hypocrites and a bunch of proselytes, not knowing their right hand from their left, jealous because somebody ain't praising them, and the only reason they ain't being praised is because God told Cain, said, sin lies at the door. Get your heart straight with God, I'll bless you, and the world will praise you too. Said, let another's lips praise you. It's all right. Paul said, in a good thing, I'll praise you myself. So then they run around the place doing that everywhere because they're in a backslidden condition. But now when they get right with God and the people start praising them, they feel better about the whole situation. So then let me praise you this morning. If you've done something good, I praise you this morning in the name of Jesus for that good thing, whatever it was. God bless you. May God help you. The Bible said, whoever we bless will be blessed. Whoever we curse will be cursed. So I want to bless you in the name of the Lord this morning according to your faith in his word. I want to turn to the board this morning and I want to try to tell you a few things if I can. I can't tell you anything unless you draw the same virtue from this member that you drawed or the woman drawed from Jesus, which was the head of the membership. If you can draw the same virtue and it's in me this morning like it is the rest of the temple, if you can draw it, then God can do something for you. If you come in this morning, the Bible said when Solomon had built the temple, that everybody that looked toward that temple was blessed. You don't know what I'm saying yet, some of you don't. But everybody that looked toward that temple was blessed. The ones that didn't look toward it wasn't blessed. When Daniel went to pray, Daniel will go to the window and he prayed toward that temple because he did that 3 times a day because God promised to bless. Today that temple is torn down naturally. But God has built a spiritual temple eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. Heavenly Jerusalem, the mother of us all. In that city of Jerusalem, we look toward it and we pray. And when we pray, God hears us. And God is in his holy temple. Now, but that holy Jerusalem that is somewhere in the heavens, this very day that we are looking to is you and you and you and you and you. For you are the lively stones that John saw coming down out of heaven, built up into a holy priesthood, a habitation for the eternal spirit. God's in there sitting on his throne, and you are that temple. You are in heaven. You are hid with God in heaven, whom the heavens have received until the restitution, the restoring of all things, which is the millennium. And you are in heaven. The people are in the earth, but you are in heaven. I remind you again, for those maybe that have not heard, when the Lord spoke to Nicodemus, Jesus said, Nicodemus, no man has ascended up into heaven except the Son of Man who came down from heaven. And while he stood there on the earth, Brother Zeke, he looked at this man and he said, who is in heaven? In other words, I've been to heaven, I've come down from heaven, and Nicodemus, I'm talking to you, I'm still in heaven. You understand what I'm saying? I am still in heaven. So then the Bible tells us that God hath, not going to, but right now, he hath, at this present time already, he hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. But now we're in the age for the redemption of the body. Now the word wit, Paul said, till we wit, recognize, come to, accept, understand. The Bible said, wisdom findeth out witty inventions. Used to take an old fellow, they'd say he's a witty sort of a fellow. That means he is cunning, he's crafty, he understands. Paul said to wit, to come to the acknowledgement that the body has also been redeemed and to exercise the faith to accept that like Enoch did when he went away in the translation by faith. Now, the church will be translated by faith. But what I'm saying to you this morning is that the creature, the outer part, has at last come to the redemption. Now, you would say, Brother Pike, who are you as an authority to tell me that the church has at last come to the redemption of the body? Who are you? Well, I'm just another fellow. That's all I am. John said, a voice of one. That's all. But you say, well, how do you know? How can you be so positive? Why do you say? Because I hear what the Spirit says to the church. And the Spirit says to me that it's here. Now, you say, but how do you know? Paul the Apostle, I remind you again, Paul the Apostle made the statement. He said, if the casting away of the Jews be the reconciling of the world, what will the receiving of the Jews be but redemption of the body, or we say life from the dead? For the dead in Christ rise first, and then the body changes. Now then, if the days of the Gentiles is over, and the door is closing to the Gentile church, and the Lord Jesus is turning back to the Jew, that means that the resurrection of the dead is at hand. Also means that the redemption of the body is here, that the knowledge for the translation, the revealed mystery of the thunders has at last come, and it is ready to change the body. Now, this is the catching away that we speak of. Remember again, there is no such thing as rapture in the Bible. The Bible does not use the term rapture. There is no such teaching as rapture. That's a man-made theory, an idea, a man-made application, a word that he uses for catching away. The terminology of the word is we are changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And before that, he said there is a proportional change, which is the change from the natural to the spiritual. Change from glory to glory into the fullness of his stature, from revelation to revelation, from inspiration to inspiration. And listen, folks, I say again, it's just like children going to school. You have dropouts that will never graduate. We've got dropouts everywhere. They've dropped out. They wouldn't go on with God. They wouldn't stay anywhere long enough to get a spiritual education. They just picked up a little here and picked up a little there and picked up a little over yonder, and they're dropouts. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. But I'm looking for the translation. That's what I want. I don't want to be a dropout. I want to stay in there and let God give me everything that he's got to give me till he brings me to that perfect place. The ones that don't get it will go through the tribulation period. So then you that felt it wasn't necessary to listen, wasn't necessary to learn, wasn't necessary to hear, that you'd rather reason about it, figure it out yourself, take your own word instead of the fivefold ministry that God speaks through to you, then you that did that, or you that dropped out, or you that wouldn't listen, or you that feel it's not important to be taught, or that's not easy to teach, all I can say is that you missed it. It's come. Brother Branham said it would be so simple, it would come right into your midst, pass through the church world. They'd never see it, and everything would be over before they ever recognized it. Is that right? Somebody say, well, prove it to me. Down in Egypt, how many remember down in Egypt? While they was down there, God said, get ready. Nobody paid any attention to it. God said, it's a preparation. Nobody paid any attention to it. God said, get the blood. Brother Leon brought this out on the tape that we got right here. It comes back to me while I'm talking. Put the blood over the doorpost. Get the blood. Get ready. Get ready to gird on your sandals. Make a preparation. Eat all of the lamb. Get everything just right. Because at midnight, the death angel is passing through and there's going to come a cry. But how many of you have done it? How many of you have done it? You won't listen to the preacher. You won't listen to the evangelist. All you like to do is come to church and feel the Spirit. Somebody said, I love to feel that. I love to go to church. You come to church and you feel the Spirit of God. You like that. See, but who doesn't like that? Anybody likes that. Everybody likes that. But see, that's not the translation. That's the rain on the unjust. But it can ever translate you. I don't care if God poured out His Spirit like buckets of water on top of you. It won't translate you. Now you say, Brother Pike, you know better than that. God can pour out His Spirit on any individual in here, including me, until we glow, just glow like the noonday sun. It still wouldn't translate us. Because the translation has to be an inward operation of coming from within your spirit. And your spirit has to have a new birth that the Holy Spirit can be inside of your spirit and go through that into your blood genetics to change your body from the vile, wretched image of the beast that it fell to in the garden when it lost its identity with Christ. Now, I want you to see something this morning, if you can. Speaking of the present day occurrence, I made a lot of statements. I made a lot of predictions. And God has been kind enough to bring them to pass. Not only did I make predictions, but Brother Leon was telling me of one that he made last week. And the state overseer or the pastor witnessed that it was the truth. I believe it's on the tape where he witnessed that it was the truth. That he said something outstanding would take place in the government and that they would know about it. And all of a sudden, that they would publish it in the papers. And all of a sudden, it happened. Within a few days after he made the statement, the president resigned and walked out. Men have made predictions. Brother Z here had made some predictions. Down in old Mexico, I heard him make the statement, said the president will either be assassinated or resign, something to this effect. So then it came to pass. Other men have made great predictions. So then it is the body of Jesus and is God moving within His membership. But let me tell you, we who make those predictions are responsible to God, and you are responsible to God to hear those things, and if it come to pass, to have respect to the Spirit of God that spoke those things. That is for the purpose of catching your attention, that you might believe, because it is your believing that's going to translate you. All right, now, let me tell you something. I want you to listen real close now. I remind you of a few statements that I made to form a continuity here with what we're trying to say. I said that there would be a complete change at this time, that there would be a changeover, that it was the catching up of the man-child. And at the catching up of the man-child, there would be a complete change, that God would bring about a complete change at the catching up of the man-child. And that the government would completely go out, the Lord would turn back to the Jew, and that the government in the spiritual would be shifted to these people. Is that right? I said that when I went to Fort Knox, Kentucky, and we had the trouble up there concerning Ricky, I said the marrying of Rebecca, which is J.T. Parnell's son, indicates the changeover from the move of Brother Branham. Is that right? Then I said that his son-in-law, Smith, George Smith, that when he married Rebecca, it also indicated the changeover in the Spanish sense of it. There's about three-dimensional acts of what God did in that thing that I could see. I made the statement that from the time that George Jr. had gone up to Kentucky, that something was taking place, and that at the changeover, that the gold would be taken away from Fort Knox, Kentucky, and I was speaking spiritually concerning the faith that the gold itself had already lost its value. Now, but that they would move the gold, or that the change would come, and here would be a move of God. When we contacted the president, the senators, the governors, the great general, the colonels, the captains, I said that this is the overthrowing of the United States government. Not that I was overthrowing it, but that God was overthrowing it. And that the proclamation that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God. You understand? I told the captain that. I told the general that. I told the president, I told the senators that this was the coming of God's kingdom, that God had given them a chance. Now, when the President Nixon spoke, I know within my heart that he used some of the things that I spoke to him about, because he related back to the same men that I spoke of and what had taken place in his great speech. He related back to it. Now, this is not just another happening. I said that this is the stone that was hewed out of the mountain, that came rolling down through Babylon, that tore down the kingdoms of the world. Is that right? And that all of the nations would be gathered unto it. Is that correct? That would be a great change. I said when President Nixon goes to the Holy Land, and this is on tape somewhere, I said, that will be the end of Nixon. How many remember that? After that, I said, anything can happen to Nixon because that'll be the end of it. Is that correct? I said it will denote that the change from the Protestant people has taken place, and that at last the government has been shifted to the foreign country, and that with the shifting of the government, that God would cut off the Protestants and turn back to the Jew. Is that right? When Nixon got into the Holy Land, or about that time, they tell me that the people of the foreign countries begin to say, welcome President Ford. Is that right? Bypass Nixon, said, welcome President Ford. Ford a Catholic, the end of the Protestant age, going back to the old country. You follow me? I said that after Nixon, he would be the last president. I said they'll go on with their formalities, just like they always did, but the government would be gone. It would be the last Protestant president. Is that right? All right. Now, when Nixon came back from the Holy Land, he's only been back a week or two, what did he do? He resigned. It was over. Why? Because it had been shifted to the Jews. Now, Joseph and Benjamin coming together. Not only that, but since that he has come back, they have discovered that the gold is literally gone. They can't prove it, and it may not be so. The congressmen, some of them are going in there to see. But they say that the gold has literally been slipped out back in the year of 73, and that the gold has been taken over into the Netherlands, over across the waters. Now, listen, folks. The word government, the Bible said in the last days, it'd be despisers of government and them that do good. They wouldn't want to follow any leadership, submit themselves to anything, listen to any voice of authority, whether it be spiritually, naturally, or otherwise. But the Bible said, Brother Leon, that there's no power except that to be ordained of God, and that we are to reverence and respect the power that God put in. Now, obey the dignitaries, authorities. Submit yourself to the magistrates. Paul, when he went before Festus and those great men, noblemen, he said, oh, honorable sirs, he said, I count it a privilege to be here with you. Know that you're expert in all manner of questions. And I'll make my own petition. Is that right? They found out that the gold has been moved. Now, there is no government in the natural. There is no government except a monetary government. Now, you can say what you want to, but there is no government except a government of monetary value. That is, there's two gods. There's God the Spirit, and there is God who is mammon. And the Bible said you are a servant of one or the other. Both is a great government. You can't serve both of them. You can't be subject to both of them. That's the reason I don't mess with money. Like when Brother Lyman, I know they don't understand. They work hard for their money. And I'm so thankful to God that they'd share it with me in what I'm trying to do. And I'm not a fool just a fool for Christ. I'm not a fool to the extent that I don't realize monetary value. I thank God that men have put their strength into it. That's the way you love God with all of your strength, is by laboring that you might have to give, as the Bible said. But when he brought his checks out here yesterday, asked me if I'd give them to Sister Betty, I said, no, Brother Lyman, I don't mess with money. I don't mess with money because I know that it is a God. And I'm serving Christ. And I've dedicated my life to God. And I said, I'm exclusively yours, Jesus. And I don't want to be in bondage to nothing else. There is a system that we've got set up where the money goes. The record is kept. You can check the books anytime and get ready. Because that's your privilege. It's your operation. The wise man's substance is precious in his sight. Or try to take care of what you got. Not let people beat it up and tear it down or try to build it up. Because God said, I'll destroy them that destroy the earth. He made the earth to be inhabited. He wants us to live holy, peaceful. Build it up. Enjoy it. Make something nice out of it. Because that's what he's going to do. To love each other, to honor the Lord with our substance. But to place our affections on things above, where thieves don't break through and steal, where moth doesn't corrupt, but where your treasures are, there your heart will be also. All right, now, I came into the world without anything. I'll leave the world without anything. I don't have anything. I gave everything I had away as far as natural things. I gave my wife away. I gave my children away. I gave them to the Lord. Gave everything I had away because I don't want to be in bondage. Now, the governmental value of monetary goods. There is only one thing that Antichrist can use to bring about the mark of the beast. There's only one thing, and that is the power of money. Somebody said he'll raise up his armies and he'll do this. He won't do nothing. Armies, captains, generals, I don't care what you got, they can't make people do it. But money can make them do it. Money is a god. Money can make them do it. Every person that's not serving this god that I'm serving will be serving the money god of Antichrist and take the mark. You watch and see. Money will do it. A man will violate his conscience for money. He'll betray his wife. The wife will betray the husband for money. Money will do it. There's never been a crime. There's never been a sin. There's never been anything from the history of the foundation of the world that wasn't caused by the love of money. The love of money is the very root to all the evil that ever took place. It's a lust. It's a covetousness. It's a satanic thing. The Bible said sin is in the world from lust. Got in through the lust of Eve there at the tree. It's been in ever since. Now, what I'm saying, children of God, is that when Nixon came back from the Holy Land, immediately they learned that the government was shifted to the foreign nations. You follow what I'm saying? They couldn't just take it and give it to somebody over there. But they got a place that's called Netherland. The word comes from neither land. No man's land. Nobody's got control of it. And our great men that have been preachers, great leaders, great divine healers that had great healing campaigns around the nation, these men to evade income tax has taken their money, God being behind the thing to bring about the end of their lust. They sent it to the foreign countries. They put it in the banks, which gave them people the hold over the gold certificates, the silver certificates, before we ever changed it to a federal note. Some of you remember way back in Olive Branch, I made the statement, I said they'll change the money to a federal note, and it won't be worth the paper that it's written on, because gold is valuable anywhere in the world. But paper is not valuable. And as long as there's a gold behind it, it will be valuable. But that when the foreign nations get the silver certificates and the dollar value drops so low, because every time they lose gold bullion, they've got to cut the dollar in half. They ain't got that much coverage. Till finally they lost all of it. And I told them over there, I said, your dollar's gone. When they changed it right over to a federal note, it was no more good. It's only as good as your government. And if your government is gold value, the government's gone, then it's no good. Corrupt government. That's why the Bible said in the last days it would be despisers of government, because you despise government when it gets corrupt. Now, in the churches, they despise government. Also speaking of the spiritual things, where Satan would despise God's government. They despise the natural government. But here's what I'm telling you. That when the dollar value was lost, that was an inflation that set in. Then, all of a sudden, prices went up, because if the dollar is only worth a dime, you've got to have so many dimes to make a dollar, so many dollars, just the worth of a dime. Then they called the Great Depression to come over the people. People felt depressed, cast down. It set them into a depression. Now, I made the statement when we was in California. Betty can remember this. In California, when I spoke about them learning that Lincoln and Kennedy's administration was the same, because they'd seen it in Revelation, I said the foreign nations will start cashing in their currency, realizing that the dollar of America is no more good, and they'll demand gold, because on the silver certificate it says at on demand you can get the silver. Look on yours now. You won't find it on yours now. You might have one loose running around that they hadn't picked up yet. I said, and watch. I said, all of a sudden men will begin to collect these silver certificates. I said, just watch and see. What long for they come to the station where Brother Taylor and some of them was working, was trying to trade them money for the silver certificate, thinking that people didn't know what was going on, see. I said, now they'll go on spending their money. Nobody will know that it's any less. I said, but all of a sudden the people will find it out. And when they find it out, I said, there'll be a great panic. The man that was speaking, I believe little Brother Allen's got this on tape. The man that was speaking concerning the money being taken away from Fort Knox, he made the statement, the money of the people, the gold of the people, have been slipped out during the year of 73. He said, I'm fully persuaded that it's gone. And they've taken it to the foreign country. And that this very year that we're living in, that there'll be a great panic and a crisis this year. When the people learn that their gold is gone, the dollar is worthless. The Bible said they'll throw it to the bats. Now listen, I made the statement. I said, folks, God cannot and will not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He always works the same. He has to have the same kind of subjects. He can't change. If he does anything great, he's got to have a great man to do it through. Now you say, what do you mean great men, Brother Pye? God said, and John shall be great in the sight of God. The angel looked at Daniel and said, thou beloved man of God. Now listen. There are great men in this earth, presidents, senators, and so forth, because of their measures and degrees. There are great men in God's church. And I say this to you again. No doubt among us this morning, there are those that shall be kings in the millennium. For the Bible said 1/10 cities, 50 cities, and whatever it might be, God raises up kings. We're more than a king. We're made the King of kings and the Lord of lords. For the Bible said unto what angel has God at any time said, set ye on my right hand till I make the enemies the footstool. But unto thee, O Son, he has said, I've given thee a kingdom that's forever and without end. Thy scepter shall be one of righteousness. Thy kingdom shall be without end. For thou art from everlasting to everlasting, O God. Now, I can see at this point that the government is being shifted in the spiritual. It was shifted, and it went to get the bride of Christ. It left off with the church world. Now listen real close. When God left off with the Jews, then it shifted, and the Jews went into darkness, and God came to America, the woman world, to get a bride. I know that Baptists and Methodists and Presbyterians, all of the great movements, they've tried to do like Babylon. Let's make ourselves a name so we won't be scattered throughout the earth. You won't be over yonder and I'll be over here and they'll be over yonder. Come together. Let's make ourselves a name, they cried out. A Baptist name, a Methodist name, a Presbyterian name. Somebody said a name that they live, but they're dead. Because Jesus never come to make them a name. A great movement, a great organization for prestige. God never done it. He said, come out of her, my people. Be not partakers of her sins. Her sins have reached up to heaven. They've gone to the moon. They've made their nest on the moon. Come out of her. Be a separate people. I'll receive you. For he said, I've come to make a name for myself. Those that are called by my name, they that testify of me, Jesus said. I've come to make a name for myself, that's Jesus. That all of the world that accepts Christ may lose their identity, be baptized for the dead, be resurrected in the newness of life. As the God family, the great membership, all of one body, baptized into the membership by the eternal Spirit, knitted together as a church, one great name, and that name is Jesus, the family name. The government has shifted. I said that God cannot, will not, destroy a nation until the government is shifted. He said, Israel, if you do what I tell you, I'll make you the head of the nations. Is that right? If you don't obey me, I'll make you the tail. You'll borrow and not lend. But if you'll obey my commandments, I'll let you lend and not borrow. America, I made you the head of the nations. You've loaned to many nations. Is that right? Because righteousness exalteth a nation. Any nation that sins at any time, Jesus said, if they'll turn and repent, I'll forgive their sins. A nation like America will not repent. She's haughty, contrary, a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. She has become a modern Babylon, the third dimensional projecting of Babylon. That's what she is, a confusion. So many mixed religions, so many mixed languages, so many mixed ideas, so much. God segregated them, put them apart down there at Babylon to get them away from each other so that they wouldn't constitute. I know the devil loves to use that. Reverse it, turn around and try to scatter God's people with that old, I better not say it. But he loves to try to separate the body of Christ and say, you better not come together as a unit. You know what God said? God said that we are to walk together in a unified endeavor. That every one of us is to see eye to eye. Speak the same thing. Not pierce each other through, not break ranks. My mighty army, saith the Lord. How good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. But when the world gets together, they get a strength. And that strength is not satisfying to God. But when we get together, we get a strength, and it is satisfying to God. One will put 1,000 to flight, 2, 10,000. But look at the government. It's gone. They discovered when Nixon came back, whether it be true or not, they believe it, that the gold is gone from Fort Knox. Your dollar is no more good. It's gone. It isn't just devaluated. It is completely worthless. If the gold is gone, it's no more good. Now the president, the senators, all the rest to keep down a panic has got to blind you with lies. Satan was a liar from the beginning. But we're not children of darkness of the carnal mind. But we are children of light, that day might not come upon us unaware, but that we should know. God promised to let us know that we could be prepared for it. Watchman on the wall, what of the night? Now, Brother Terrell made a prediction, a great man. He said, I saw the president walk out of the White House. And I saw the government collapse. The first part of his prediction has come to pass. Nixon walked out. Now, will the second part come where he said he heard the voice say the government had collapsed? I tell you that it will come. It has come. It is here. Revelation shows that the government has been shifted. That I made the statement. I said they will change their standards from gold to oil. How many remember that? It's on tape. I said the gold standard will leave and they'll change it from gold to oil. What is the next thing of value in our country if the gold is gone? Tell me. What is the next thing that's more demanded than anything else at this time? Immediately after I made the statement, a brother found a paper and said that the Arab nation had made their standards all. Is that right? Somebody said, well, what's that got to do with us? Because civilization started in the East, in the Egyptian country. These people, Brother Leon, are Egyptians. The Bible said when the Egyptians' iniquity is full, Abraham, your seed will wander in bondage 430 years. After this, he said, I will bring them out with a great hand of deliverance. Here in this age, God raised up a man by the name of William Branham. Right here as Daniel was raised up down in Babylon, as Moses was born the proper child down in Egypt. Right at the very crisis of things, and stirred the world. Here, the Egyptians. I said that civilization would make a long cycle. It started with the bonds child in Egypt. Is that right? It started not with Isaac, but with Ishmael the cattleman. The big deal of America. Is that right? And I said it would boomerang right back around to the Egyptians. The standard would be changed. Your money is gone. They tried to pay off some kind of national debt with it or buy something back over there. And the foreign country stated, we don't want your worthless dollar. All right now. You are under the standards of the Egyptians. The nativity of your birth goes back to the bonds child and back to Cain, back to your education, back to your intellectual reasoning, back to the love of your houses and lands. For they said, all of the nations of the Gentiles seek after those things. But at the same time, the salvation, the Spirit of the living God, that sprang up among the Jews. For the Bible said, as it is written, Bethlehem, thou art not the least among the cities of Judah. For out of thee shall come forth the governor that shall govern my people Israel. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. The same Spirit
that came up over there that has boomeranged around, caused us to set up this little place called Bethlehem, that brought us, without me knowing anything about it, to a little place in Georgia named Bethlehem. I didn't know there's a place in anywhere in the state of Georgia named Bethlehem. I'd been in and out here for years and years. I'd never known about it. God made my trucks break down right there in that city. The very time that it broke down, it was at that time that the government accepted it as the Christmas city. Always help the nativity scene of Jesus Christ right there in front of the little post office in that town. They do it every Christmas. Got it on the postcards. In that very year, they chose it as the Christmas town. See Jesus born. You understand? Our trucks broke down right on the street that was called Manger and Star. Right on the corner of it. Is that right? We had to go into a little barn to have our meetings. I'm telling you the truth. And then God brought it over here, Brother Leon, to a place called the Baby Farms. I said, why? He said, for a child is born and the government's coming. And I learned that the very little city that we're in is the city of seven governors, seven controlling factors of the Spirit of the Eternal God. So many other things. This message started at a little place called Salem when I saw the vision. Jerusalem, Salem verse. I told my wife, I said, Betty, this is the very end of it. I said in that vision, I saw as it was the rapture of the church when the vision ended. And I said, there's a little round pool and men sat around it and there was goldfish there. We went right on, and where I set that trailer out here that is called the Winston trailer going back to Salem, North Carolina, they built a little round pool. I didn't even think about it till after it was built. And the little old road's going by just exactly. And I said that that thing ended in the rapture. And here it is, us preaching it. Where? Somebody said, Brother Pike, do you believe that you're going to be caught up to heaven? I don't believe a word of it. Not a word of it. Praise God, I believe I've already been caught up to heaven. That's why so many of them had dreams where we were in heaven and caught up to heaven. I've already been translated into the kingdom of God. I'm already hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. Jesus said in heaven, Father, I'm always in thy presence. Little children that never get out of the presence of God, he said, for of such is my babe Jesus, the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah! He said, well, they do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. That little Christ child, he's always sitting there face to face, saying, I do always the things I see my Father do. The eyes of the understanding being enlightened, comprehending the heights, the depth, the width, watching the move of the Spirit, hearing what the Spirit said in the church. Who hears that? That little toddler Jesus. That little toddler Jesus, he's not a child of the night. Hallelujah. I've said it before, he's boasted big things, but he just crawled because he was growing up. But you wait till he gets a little bit older. Every boast he ever spoke of will come to pass. Everything he ever said will happen. For the Bible said that he'd rule with a rod of iron. I said that the government would shift. Because God never at any time ever destroys a country where he is raised up for a headship until he shifts the government. If he does, chaos comes among the people get confused, Brother Zeke, and they don't know what to do. He's got to move the leadership, the rulership, in a systematic order to follow the times. And then when it's moved over, like he conveyed it over with Kissinger, I told you before Kissinger ever got in that place, I said, watch Kissinger. I said, just watch him. I said, Nixon is the last president. After that, there'll be a king. He went over there, and they said, we want to crown Kissinger. The Bible said, betrayest thou the son of a man with a kiss? Kissinger, the king of the nations. Is that right? They wanted to crown the king of the nations.
They run his name down and found it was 666. I'd made the statement, he's paving the way for the Antichrist. Is that right? I also made the statement that he was the one that would arouse the 10 toes, the 10 nations. That would be a communistic regime working through the powers of Egypt, through communism. And that when this government here failed, that they would shift it over to Atlanta, Georgia. Is that right? They're building the NATO building there. They've already asked permission to hold their conferences on a world scale in the capital. It looks like that another religious man will go into the capital. I'd already spoke about that very fellow. All of a sudden, about 27 nations come together in Atlanta, Georgia for a conference. Never a world conference before like that out of Washington, unless it was overseas. But they came together. Then all of a sudden, things begin to take place, one after another, about the waterway and the different things that we've spoken of begin to fall together. Now we learn that the government has been shifted. Why has the government been taken out of the United States? With the gold goes the government. Even if they had not shifted it, it's still gone. Kissinger took it out. Nixon stayed in there till the country was sold out to communism. That's why I resigned, because everything was over. I read where he had 7 years of communist training. When everything was gone, what's the use of staying in there? The job's well done. What was the next step of communists? The next step of communists was to move right on with Kissinger and with Ford. Somebody said, I don't believe it. Betty, what was the book that we found concerning Ford and Kissinger, where they were big buddies in the past? I believe the television's even stated here recently when he come in office what big buddies they were. They were back in the past. Another step. How many of you know that before Nixon resigned, he had a conference that night with Kissinger? Everything working step by step. One man does his job, goes out. Another man steps in. That one does his job and goes out. Another one steps in. If one of them gets rebellious because of authority, they use the underworld to kill him. Why is it that all of a sudden Atlanta, Georgia becomes the keynote of the underworld? Why is it called Underground Atlanta? Why was it the one that we speak of gone with the wind, that the seven bridges was burned, where they burned it with fire? Why is it the little stone is there that's filled the world with its wonder? Why is the largest painting of Christ in the world there? Now, I'm going to close in just a few minutes. Just the very few things I'd like to say. You say, now, Brother Pike, what are you saying? Gone with the wind, rapture, burn up, the little stone filling all the earth, the biggest painting called the life of Christ, the revelation coming into this area, the city of seven governors, so many multiplied things that we that are spiritual can hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. My brother and sister, I rode by those things perhaps hundreds of times. I never even thought about it. Just another mountain, just another city, just another place. I never thought about it till one day a voice like that mother eagle screamed out and said, this means this and this means this and thus and thus and thus. And in my heart was set on fire and it burned on the inside of me as the Holy Spirit began to speak to me with the revelation of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Let us get all the natural education, the natural understanding, the natural types and shadows, and then overshadow it with the Shekinah glory of God, and the whole thing rolls back like a scroll, and the mind of God begins to turn everything into a spiritual. The Lord Jesus, the mind of God, the knowledge of the Lord filling the earth, heavens, and everything. Now, if the government is gone, Nixon is over, Brother Taylor said this is the first monarchical act that they've had where we said it would go back to that, the kings, the patriarchs. The first one in the history of the world, is that right, Brother Taylor, of our nation, that has ever gone into office without the votes of the people. Anybody that would be blind knows that if somebody goes in without the vote of the people, that is not a democratic government, because the government means that the people rule. That when a person is put in by powers, magistrates, and authorities, that is automatically a king, no matter how you look at it. I said the last president, then a king would take over. Now, automatically went in. No government ever stood over 200 years. 76, July the 4th, will be the end of this 200 years. Already, our government has gone. They put in a king. They went over us. They done what they wanted to. Your government is no more. Your money is no more. Your system is no more. When our forefathers landed, they used gold as a standard so the people would have control of the government. That if everybody had a little gold, it was a type of God's government where everybody has a measure so they can control the church. The government resting on their shoulders. That's why the woman's hair ought to be long. It's a type of the government on the church shoulders. Dishonors the head, which is Christ, the man, if it's cut. The church is without the glory of God. That's why women have cut their hair off. But listen, it's been restored, the long dresses. Been restored, the long hair, the church fully garment. You understand what I'm saying? A king is taken over. Your government's gone. They changed the money from the gold standard our fathers set up to a federal note. Nobody ever noticed it. They changed their money. They changed the Constitution. They couldn't just go in there and change it. So they had to make so many amendments, insertions, like the scribes and the Pharisees in the days of Moses, till he got it warped around to the way they wanted it. We still think we're on the Constitution. Don't nothing function like the Constitution did. That is majorly speaking. Now, a little group of men have worked their way in. They've got it. They've got Washington. But God got there first. And God shifted the government because he is the big boss. He shifted the government back to the foreign nations to bring up the Jewish nations as the head of the world, to bring in the millennium, for one little nation shall rise up, God among them. Israel is repenting, turning back to God, calling on God. You say, Brother Pike, how could Israel ever rule? You said money in the earth. They have learned that the worthless nation of Israel, just the Dead Sea that they thought was worthless, the Dead Sea along with its potashes and its minerals, is worth more than all of the world put together. Enough asphalt has been discovered there to pave a street around the world. The rain is coming on the crops, and the fertility of the land is so great. I heard a Russian Jew make the statement, said, Brother Pike, the fruits that I saw was twice the size of the fruits here. Coming back to the double potion, see the redemption of the body. God shifted the government. All nations shall gather themselves against Israel. But in that day the Lord said that he himself would rise up. Stand for Israel. Gather all nations against her. Come in Revelation 19, as Brother Taylor read. Come through the eastern gate. Wage war in righteousness. And the blood would run up to the horse's bridle. In the book of Revelation, when the angel sat upon the cloud, and the voice said, cast in thy sickle, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And the Bible said the angel cast in the sickle, reap the vine of the earth. You know, going through the grapevine, we say. Reap the vine of the earth. And the Bible said it was gathered into the winepress of the wrath of the Almighty God. How many understand that Jerusalem is the winepress of God? They tread the winepress with their feet. The Bible said it was trod without the city. Gathered them together against Israel. Outside the walls, the nations coming down, and God treading the winepress, using the people as the grape of the vine that they grow from. Said the people of each sour grapes, and the children's teeth are on edges. Trodden it on the outside of the city. And while they trot it, the blood runs up to the horse's bridle for 1,500 furlongs. The wine press. Angel said, cast in that sickle. Gather that vine. Cast it into the wine press. That means gather the nations. Cut her down. Don't let her reproduce no more. Don't let her grow. She sour grapes. Said, I've done everything I could to my grapevine. Everything. I planted a vineyard. I hedged it in. I've done everything I could do to it, God said. But it brought forth wild grapes. Cut it down. Cast it into the wine press. Israel is always the nation, brother, that rises up to tread the wine press. When Egypt's iniquity was fulfilled, and today her iniquity is fulfilled, the promise of Abraham, the father of the faithful, for we're the seed of Abraham and he's our father. I know that God's our father, but I'm speaking in the Jewish sense. Abraham is the father of the Jews. But at this hour, faithful Abraham, the spiritual God within him, our father, Abraham, at this time his seed is ready to come out of bondage. Listen right quick now. I'm trying to close. When he took Abraham, he put him over there, said, you'll sojourn in a country that's not your own. Your seed will, Abraham. The famine come in Jerusalem. The people was driven out to wander through the world. But when the famine is over, over in Jerusalem, then Ruth goes back to her homeland. For when the famine was on, Abraham was driven out down into Egypt. And then while he was down there, his seed wandered. See, it said they would wander in darkness because he split open the animals and things he had on the table. He split them, showing the rending of the veil at Calvary that we spoke of here. Said, Abraham, your seed will wander through the carnal mind of education. The beast. Turn my people from darkness to light, God said to Paul. That's from education. Intellectual understanding. Lean not to your own understanding. Out of the darkness, into the mind of the Lord Jesus to light. Children of light. Understanding. Is that right? God, the Word, light of the world. Turn them away. For when they journey through this great era of darkness, then after the dark age is over, I'll raise them up. I'll bring them back and their land shall blossom as a rose and the famine will be over. Abraham, I'll not give you a place to set your foot. But he said, that day I'll give it to you and I'll give it to your seed. And I'll tell you, when the natural Jew goes back to the natural homeland, it means that the spiritual Jew is going back to the spiritual homeland. He said, wherever you set your foot, I'll give it to you, God said. If you've got faith, if you've got perseverance, if you're not afraid of the giant of opposition, which is the fallen angels, man a little lower than the angels, big, but we can face them. I had a vision the other night where the devils came before me. All kind of devils come before me. And I'd put a man out there to face them, and it prepared a trap for him, and it was all around him. And I didn't think there was but just two or three, and I thought he could handle them. But when he got out there, and they began to come out everywhere. The man got scared. We pulled him back. He run back. And the Lord moved on me, and I moved out there in the midst of them. And devils was everywhere. And God helped me to whip all the devils. And then they brought the chief of the devil, and God helped me to whip him. Hallelujah. Praise God. I remember the vision where I faced Satan, and Satan blowed up. Just went into oblivion. He's a coward. We're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're his conqueror. I give you power over all the powers of the enemy, and the enemy too. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. The government is gone. The new government is here. God has took this little Bethlehem to show that Bethlehem over there. Something spiritual is taking place. Now there's so much more that I want to say, but if I keep on the anointing when it starts, it'll talk on as long as you listen. If I keep on, I just go on and on and on. A lot of things I'd like to say concerning the government, the present day truth and what's happening, but I'm going to close out with this. Remember, the woman is in hard travail. America, the government, the birth pains. The child has been caught up to the moon. That is the astronaut, shepherd leading the way, breaking through the atmosphere of resistance, rending the wall of partition, breaking down the middle wall that the others might go on through into the heavenlies, the rapture. The nest, calling it the nest as they land among the stars. Is that right? From thence I shall cast thee down to hell. Is that Bible? Though thou climbest up to the heavens, Satan can't rest because from there He wants to rule. He said, for I will ascend among the stars, make my nest among the stars. Where? On the moon. That's the carnal mind. I will make myself like unto the Most High God, he said. He can't do it. You can. By the blood of Jesus, you can make yourself like unto the Most High God. For he said, everyone shall be perfect, shall be his master, no man above his master. He's made us perfect, perfected us forever, sanctified us once and for all. Is that right? Hallelujah. You can be like that. Glory he won't give to another, but he gave his glory to you because you're not another. You're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Father, glorify these with the glory I had with you before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. That's the kind of glory you got, the light of the world. Praise God. Let's stand together. The red dragon of communism is laying there to get the child. The Superman is fixing to come on the scene. At the same time, our Jesus is coming on the scene, which is our Superman. All of you are not just mere men. You're Superman. Mere men, Bible said, to die like men, but you're gods. The Bible called you gods. Said you're gods. You're Superman, more than men. You're superhuman. Superman. That's what Superman was a type of when God let it be in the world. You're God's Superman, the body of Jesus. You belong to a heavenly planet. Not Krypton, but a better one than that. Brother Charlie said he had a vision not too long ago. He said he looked up in the heavens and there was Batman. And there was Superman. And he said he never saw such fighting in his life. He said them two fellas fought and fought and fought and fought till finally one went one way and one went another. Well, let me say this, folks. The end of this government is over. It's gone. It's gone. The kingdoms have become the kingdoms of our God. Now, his government is going to start ruling, which is always the natural due of the body. That means the resurrection of the dead, the change, the rapture of the church. Then the 3 years of tribulation, the 3.5 years, going to set in. That little, all the tribulation is just a few years of bad government. That's all it is. And that bad government is beginning to set in. We'll just go through that bad government, and everyone that don't take that mark will come out over on the other side of that bad government. You'll still be here right here on this earth. You won't go nowhere. Somebody said, where are the people going? Nowhere. Somebody said, bless God, I'm going somewhere. I don't want to go nowhere. Hallelujah. I'm already in heaven. Couldn't be no better place. Now, but I tell you this again, we'll be here, and the 7 years of government will just move over this earth. Then after it's over, God will bind Antichrist. Jesus will come back, Revelation 19. You follow me? Called the first resurrection. Then the earth will begin to blossom as a rose. In the same natural earth that you own will turn into a millennium. And for 1,000 years we'll live here with the Lord Jesus. And then when that's over, there will be a great change, and this earth will change into a celestial called the new earth. You follow me? Peter said the earth being burned up, that's at the end of the millennium. Just a third part will go be torn up. Brother Brown said 77, that's right on us. The government's done moved. God can blow this place up now. Not wreck the government and the system. 77, the third part. Revelation said a third part was smitten, the third part. Jew, Catholic, Protestant, the third part smitten. Then after the 1,000 years, fire out of heaven devours Gog and Magog as they go up against Jerusalem. Then the celestial comes, and somebody says, where are we going? Going to stay right here. And instead of us going up to heavenly Jerusalem going to come right down to us and sit down on the new earth. Come right down to us. Hallelujah. Now you say, Brother Pike, don't you believe that we're going to be changed, Thessalonians, in a moment, twinkle of an eye? I believe the saints of God will. The change of the body, caught up in the air, to meet him, so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's just the man-child, caught up to ride over the 7 years bad government over the Jordan, the tribulation to sit back down in the throne in the millennium to rule with a rod of iron. That's all. But here's what I'm saying. When the Jew comes in, that's our body redeemed. That's time for us to go out then. We'll be up yonder looking around at New Jerusalem, seeing the stones of fire. Satan walked in the midst of them, but he's to be taken out. And you beautiful stones of fire to that wise master builder Paul will just come down on that foundation of the apostles' teachings, fit together a habitation for the eternal spirit, the bride being the closest thing to him because she'll be the body that he lives in.
Overcoming, sitting down in his throne. Heaven is his throne. A lot of room up there. Overcoming, sit down in the throne with him. And there we'll be up there while the tribulation, we'll just see our heavenly palace. Be caught up here to the heavenly palace. Rebecca going into the chambers, the mother of us all, New Jerusalem. Into the mother's chambers for the veil of the flesh to be taken off. That's the chains. That we might see him face to face to become as he, one with him, celestial, his wife. Then coming back after the tribulation period, after we see our heavenly mansion where we're going to live. The rest of the world won't see it for 1,000 years. When we come right back, we'll have access to heaven and earth. Come back over here, be to the Jews, what the angels are to us now. And the Jews will be to the nations what we are to the nations right now, the head of the nation. They'll still be natural, reproduce, farm. We'll be celestial and enjoy both heaven and earth. Come back down for 1,000 years. And then when we come back down, before the 1,000 years sets in, we're already married to him. Then he says, let's have the marriage supper. Call them from everywhere. Tell them to come to feed off the flesh of great men and captains. There's a marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to celebrate our marriage. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? It's wonderful. Brother Taylor read it to you this morning, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Let's sing that little song. They'll come from the east and the west. They'll come from the lands afar to feast with the King, to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding his hallowed faith, aglow with his light divine. Bless partakers of his grace, as gems in his crown to shine. Listen, folks. They'll come from the east and the west. The Bible said God, who is a spirit, John 4:24, shall suddenly return into his temple. Not in you. Now I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about his temple. You that are his temple. Suddenly return into his temple. What is that returning? It's the mind, the word. God, in the beginning, was a word, mind, a spirit. Shall suddenly return into his temple to be glorified in his saints. That all the world might gather. Come to see him face to face. Who? Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. To kneel at his feet. And when the body is fully perfected, which is the membership, the bride, the head, which is the word, the mind, will come down and pick it up. And he himself in his own body will stand and she'll behold him. For behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go you out to meet him. The midnight cry. For at midnight when the Egyptians' iniquity was full, God said it's the midnight cry. The blood is applied. Everything is ready. They've eat the lamb. Jesus said, taste of me. I'm good. Drink of my blood. They've eat the lamb. Everything's ready. The midnight cry. Behold, all was asleep. The wise virgins, the church, the foolish virgins. Nobody awake. The church was asleep. Everybody asleep. Just the preacher, which was the watchman on the wall, saying, what of the night? Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Get your mini skirts. Brother Leon said, sew something onto the end of them. Be a lady. Be a man. Cut off that old long hair. Get decent. Rise up. See if you got any spirit left. If you've got any oil at all, try to light it. Try to get a flicker. Like Sister Eloise had the vision of Brother Branham. He went along with a big flame. Took the flame and he tried to light candles. He lit 6 of them. Kept trying to light the 7th, but he couldn't get it lit. That old Laodicean church age wouldn't take no light. Brother Branham had a fire, but couldn't get it to take. Kept trying to take it. Said, you don't understand what I'm saying. Trying to light the church age. We're the light of the world. But she was lukewarm. Wouldn't take it. But the end has come.